This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, thank you, Brent Musburger. It is the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you back. We've got Pat Leonard, of course, the Giants tonight at Gillette, New England. That number flipped to New England open. Now the Giants are sitting 2.5, 3 at a few shops. Tennessee, Baltimore as well tonight. You've got 5 games in the preseason tomorrow, and then a full slate on Saturday as well. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher. One of the games on Saturday is Seattle-Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, Michael, open 3. They've been bet up the 3.5 hosting Seattle. We do have news, and it's interesting those two teams square off because the quarterback battles in both camps. Seahawks coach Pete Carroll said Geno Smith will start the first preseason game. It appears Locke has made up some ground in the competition, but it's going to be Geno to start. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, you know, poor Seattle. They got to fly all the way across the country to play in Pittsburgh for a preseason game. When, you know, there used to be a time where Seattle would play San Francisco. They would play, you know, the Rams. They would play the Chargers and, you know, Denver, and that would be it. They didn't have much travel, you know, and so now they got to fly all the way back. Look, I mean, everything you keep hearing out of Seattle that comes with reliable sourcing has been they like the quarterback. They're not looking. I mean, as much as Cleveland tried to get them involved in the Brady-Baker Mayfield conversation, it never happened. And so I'm going to assume that they're seeing something different than I'm seeing, that they actually think Geno can do it. I think they're a better team than we give them credit for. I do agree with that. I think they've improved their football team through the offseason. I think when you break them down, they've gotten better defensively because they've changed what they're going to do defensively. They're not going to be locked into one and the same thing. So that's helped. I think the offensive line changes has helped. The additions of some good offensive linemen, whether it's Cross or Curran, the kid that they're going to play at right tackle. I mean, all those things can help them. The signing of Blythe, you know, inside to give them a better offensive line. I think it's going to improve them. Look, Metcalf had 12 touchdowns last year in spite of the quarterbacking situation, and he was a playmaker. Lockett averaged 16 yards a catch and had 10 touchdowns. I mean, they've got skill players, you know. And, yes, I know that Carson quit and he retired because of the neck injury, but Penny looked like he was coming along, and this Kenneth Walker kid can be pretty good. So, I mean, look, I don't think they're a 4-win team by no means, Patrick. Do I think they're a playoff team? No, but I think there's going to be improvement just because they've made a conscious decision to change what they're doing defensively and through the scheme.
Yep. And you know Carroll wants to run the ball. You just mentioned they do have talent in the backfield. You don't think they're a 4-win team, but the question is, are they a 6-win team? DraftKings right now has the Seahawks set at 5.5 on the win total. You got to pay $1.40 to the over. You like the over?
I do. Yeah. I like the over. I mean, I know there's juice on the over, but I would, you know, to me, I don't trust Geno. Again, I don't trust him, but I also know that last year, you know, they were able to be in some games and win some games as well they did. I mean, look, let's be clear here. Russell didn't play well last year. I mean, they won 7 mm-hmm. games and Russell didn't play well. I mean, Russell was not Russell. I mean, you know, Geno was 1-2 in his 3 starts. Russell was 6-8.
So that's Seattle, and we're going to get to Washington. Santos and I were talking about them firing a position coach. This is odd timing. We'll get to them in a little bit. Let's transition to Pittsburgh.
That's a story that, you know, when you're in the league and you see a D-line coach who's been with you for 3 years.
I know.
All of a sudden on a random Monday after his father goes into the Hall of Fame, like, wait a minute. What's going on?
Okay.
Here?
Well, something's hold off up on it because I want to get to it. I'm going to walk you. We'll do the whole segment after Pat Leonard on that. Now, Pittsburgh, Michael, was this? It's up to 3.5 with them laying it, and we understand there's competition here at the quarterback position. The depth chart was interesting. You pointed it out this weekend. Trubisky, and then Rudolph, and then the rookie Pickett. Is that intentional on Tomlin's part to put the rookie in that position? Like, what does that mean coming into preseason one?
I think what he wants to do is, when you listen to Mike Tomlin talk, and if you listen to any interview with Mike Tomlin, it's all about competition. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to be given to anybody. And so what I think he's telling Pickett is compete. Show me what you got. You know, show me what you can do. And based on practice. Now, The problem we're having is everybody that I talk to that go to practice, you know, whether it's Brian Baldinger or some other guy that's been involved with teams, is that the practices for most of these teams are just a glorified walkthroughs. It's hard to judge talent that way. It's really hard to judge talent that way. And so these first preseason games are going to be not as, you know, crisp. It's going to be a lot of back and forth, and it's hard to judge quarterbacks particularly. Now, I know Carolina because my son works there. I know they put the pads on quite a bit. Pittsburgh has to a degree, you know, but a lot of this stuff is glorified walkthroughs. Everybody's so concerned about getting their team healthy to the regular season that they've foregone any physicality that needs to be done to represent a football team at the highest level.
Right now, I've got offshore odds. Trubisky's minus 700 to be the starter week one. I got Pickett four to one.
Wasn't that like minus 1,000 this weekend?
Oh, it was like you got up to, I think, almost 1,200. Yeah, you're 100% right. So that number's come the other way. Is it Rudolph? Or could we possibly see Rudolph?
I wouldn't put anything past him. I mean, look, when you talk, you know, as the great John Madden once said, when you have a lot of something, you got nothing. You know, when you're dealing with what three you got, you probably don't have any. So, like, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, look, I mean, Mike Tomlin's sitting there saying 2 years ago with Rudolph in there and Ben was hurt, we won games. You know, we didn't make the playoffs. We turned the ball over. He protected the football. He wasn't great. We had to put the Duke Duckster in a couple times. But we won games.
I miss the Duckster.
I miss him too. I wonder how many geese he shot today.
Hey, by the way, did you see this? Is it goose or geese? Plural.
I guess. It's got to be the season, right? I mean, it's got to be based on the season. You just can't go out and shoot geese whenever you want to. I would hope not.
I'm not much of a hunter.
I don't know that. I'm not a hunter, so I don't know that.
Yeah, you and me are the opposite hunters. Trubisky is going to start the Steelers' preseason opener with Seattle coming to town. Like you mentioned, that's a fun trip for Seattle, a game that is completely meaningless. You'd rather stay home and practice. And you got to get on the plane.
All the way to Pittsburgh. You know, and you know, the thing is, I think people this Najee Harris kid was really good. I mean, he had the most touches of any running back last year, of any player. Mm-hmm. He had the ball more than any player. And for as bad as that line was, he delivered. Now, he only averaged 3.9 a carry, but, I mean, anybody else behind that line, I don't know what they would have done.
He's a rookie. I mean, think about the production. Like you said, the average wasn't there, but how much do you put on that line? But just the idea that they had that much confidence in a rookie to get him that many touches, he's a tremendous ball catcher as well.
Yeah, no, and he's good in the passing game. Look, one thing we know about Tomlin, the team's going to be tough. They'll be hard-nosed. They'll be physical. You know, I mean, I think they'll play, you know, they'll play as hard as they can play at Pittsburgh. I don't know what's going to happen in the preseason with them because of the quarterback situation. But the thing I do know is Geno Smith and Locke have started professional football games. Trubisky and Mason Rudolph have started. So if they get out there, they should look good in these games. Like, they should look acceptable in this game.
We do have news. We're going to transition to the Giants with Pat Leonard coming up in just about 5 minutes here. Michael Lombardi on the Lombardi Line. How about this? New England Patriots running back James White, 3-time Super Bowl champ, announced his retirement from the NFL on Thursday after 8 seasons. Is this out of nowhere? Was this something you expected,
no.
James White retiring?
I think him coming back, you know, look, he had the bad hip injury. I thought 2 years ago, you know, it kind of looked like his skill set was dwindling down, you know. And then last year when he came back, he kind of looked like he got it back going. And then he got hurt again. And to me, I was surprised New England signed him back coming off that injury. But James has been such an integral part of the program there that I'm sure Coach Belichick felt like, I got to give him a chance to see if he can get his career back on track, see if he can become healthy. And I'm sure James just said, look, I can't do it. I mean, it's a great story. When we drafted James White in the preseason in 2014, he looked really good in the mini camps, really good, you know. And when we got to training camp, he didn't look so good. He wasn't very physical. He wasn't able to take things on. He didn't rise. He didn't raise his level of play to that. He only played 3 games that year. He was inactive mostly every game. We carried him. and Coach Belichick carried him and thought, okay, I saw enough. Maybe it's going to come around next year. And it did. The kid went to work. He kept his mouth shut. He worked hard. He didn't complain about not playing. He figured out what his role could be in the National Football League. I'm going to be the best third down blocker. I'm going to be the best receiver when we go to a nickel formation, and I'm going to make my impact that way. And he did. And he did it really well. And it's a credit to him because he was able to adjust and not complain that he wasn't playing, find a way to play.
Also, he saved his best for the biggest moment. Remember the walk-off in the Super Bowl, but also he had a total of 139 yards in that game. You know it well, 110 receiving and 29 rushing. White was tremendous in the Super Bowl.
Really was, and he did a great job. You know, he had Shane Vereen was there when we drafted him, so Vereen was able to kind of – he watched Vereen – play and how he ran routes and what he did when he was running, how he set up the route, how he was able to accelerate in and out of the cuts. So, you know, and then he took that with him and he made himself a better player. It's James White's a very talented man, but he's also a hard worker who dedicated himself to improving his craft. And that's why he was able to play so long and impact a team that won.
Nice little 8-year career. We wish him the best in retirement. The other big news before we get to Leonard, he's not retiring. He's 45 years old, but he is taking a leave of absence, I guess, for 10 days. And that is Tom Brady steps away from camp. We've got Michael's thoughts. If you missed it, go to VSiN.com and you can check out the show and check out Michael's reaction to Brady. We'll get more into it. We've got Pat Leonard. Of course, the Giants are favored tonight at Gillette, Michael Lombardi. And then I want to get to the mess that is the Commanders. You may want to start looking at that under because the juice around the Commanders, it's bad juju. It really is bad juju. Is. Pat Leonard coming up next here on the Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app. That's BetMGM, of course, has all your favorite wagering options, in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. Bring that state issued ID, ready to go. Whatever your sport, whatever your style, BetMGM has you covered. Got to be 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. Okay, we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Michael, you've got two tonight. The Giants at New England, no Mac Jones. However, we are going to see your boy Daniel Jones. I kept on mentioning the quote that I got from Dayball, which is live reps, live reps. We bring in the guy covering the Giants for the New York Daily News, nobody better than Pat Leonard, and he joins us here on the Lombardi Line. I'm going to start here, and then I'll let Michael get to the nuts and bolts. First off, Pat, thank you for joining us. You've had some head coaches there now that you've covered with the Giants. What's their early return? What's Dayball like to cover so far?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. He's been interesting because he is folded under the Joe Shane regime. There's alignment there, and they're trying to do it differently than how Joe Judge and the previous staff did it. However, in the previous days coming up to this game, Brian Daboll has put an extra emphasis on conditioning. Frankly, I thought he looked at their practice last Friday at MetLife Stadium, and he thought they weren't in good enough shape. So you're seeing a little bit more of the Bill Belichick way out of Brian Daboll early on here, in my opinion. He smiles for the cameras, but I think you're seeing a little tough love already.
Yeah, and Pat, so to me, when I look at Brian Daboll in New York, I say, Brian, you got one decision to make. It is who's going to be your quarterback in 2023? Do you think there's been, based on what I've read from you every day in the Daily News, it doesn't seem like it's Daniel Jones based on your evaluation?
Well, right now he's their week one starter. We got alarms going off out here, so who knows? Maybe they're making a switch right now. But Daniel Jones is the week one starter as we speak, as we stand here, Michael. But I do think that the lack of progress we've seen early on, especially in a complicated offense, as you know, not only what Daboll ran in Buffalo, but also mixing it in with Kafka and the Kansas City Chiefs system. You know, there's no certainty that Jones is going to be long for the starting job if Tyrod Taylor continues to impress as the second string, because frankly, even though the Giants know it's going to be a tough year, John Mara is not he's not looking to tank like the Dolphins did, right?
No doubt.
Pat Leonard's the pro, Michael Lombardi. Look at, he even got the alarm to stop. That is a man that covers the Giants for the Daily News, Pat Leonard, as he joins us here. Early returns on Saquon. You know, Barkley, number two overall. There's some clips going up all over the internet that he's got some juice in the legs this year. What to expect from Saquon Barkley and the Giants this year, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, he looks great in physical shape. You'd like to have seen him in that shape every year. Obviously, contract year now, running downhill, looks fast, looks fit. His number one priority, like any player, but especially him, to get that second contract, which frankly probably won't be in New York, is to stay healthy. You know, he is not a fundamentally sound player, but he is a big splash, super talented, athletically gifted player. So Daboll is going to try to use him more in space as a receiver, which I think is going to serve two purposes. Probably take him away from some of the things he doesn't do as well. And then also hopefully keep his body fresher, not only for the rest of the season, but probably for next year and years to come and getting some money and getting paid.
You know, is Daboll going to take the same approach that Sean McDermott and then John Harbaugh take? It sounds like to me, just listening to him, he wants to win. He wants to get this thing going. He wants to win. And he's going to play some. He's going to play Daniel Jones enough to where he can get a look. Is that your sense too?
You're talking about for this game specifically?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, I think he's playing most of his starters. They're going to play about a quarter. You know, if Daniel Jones goes on a 12-play touchdown drive, that would probably be it. But if they go 3, 4, 5 and out, then I think you're going to see a full quarter probably out of them. But, yeah, his words to me, our guys need to play. And not only is this roster not deep, Michael, but I think you're right on the nose that everybody on this roster really is proving themselves and in need of proving themselves, because Joe Shane, frankly, like Ian Daboll have an entirely new approach to what Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge were doing here prior, especially from Gettleman's personnel side. So all these guys are under evaluation, and Daboll, that's why he's playing them all, because he wants to evaluate them in real games on the field.
Pat Leonard joining us here on the Lombardi Line. The alarm is gone. Hallelujah, Pat. So
let's
you mentioned,
yeah,
so if I told you from a betting perspective that the Giants, 4 wins last year, if I told you they're set at 7 right now at most shops, do they get to 8 wins if a bettor wants to go over 7? It sounds like you're not necessarily bullish on the Giants this season. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, I'm not there. The only thing I would say is that the schedule could allow them to get there. You know, they have, if you break up the teams, and I know Michael's done this, right? You break up the teams into kind of, you know, the tiers of contenders and teams on the bubble, and then teams either rebuilding or that aren't going to be very good. Almost all of them are on the Giants roster. You know, they're one of those teams, but you got the Bears, you have the Seahawks, you have all these, you know, the Lions. So there's wins there to be had, but I'm going way under. I mean, I predicted in the spring 3 wins. That might be, you know, too low for a lot of people's taste, but most NFL teams sustain injuries. And if they have some key guys go down on a roster where they already don't have many, if any, stars, it's going to be tough for them. So, you know, 4, 3, 5, you know, I'm in that range for them for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I just think to me there's so much uncertainty about their team. And I Daboll will give him some life, but I think we're asking a lot of Brian and Mike Kafka, who's going to call the plays tonight. And then, of course, Martindale's going to want to blitz and do different things. And where is their corner situation? Will that hold up well enough to be able to handle the package that Martindale wants to bring to the table?
No, it will not, Michael. It's a great question. And in addition to a lack of depth at offensive tackle, the corner position is extremely thin. Adoree Jackson is their number one corner, but in my opinion is not one. So he has to kind of play above, you know, his level. And then they have Aaron Robinson on the outside, who has not proven himself to be a quality regular every down starter. And then you have Darnay Holmes in the slot, who really the best thing he does is blitz because he doesn't cover well in man-to-man out on his own. And then behind them, everybody's unproven. You know, Michael Jacquet, rookie Darren Evans from LSU, Gavin Heslop. I mean, some of these names are probably guys you haven't heard of, not you, but, you know, just a general NFL fan. And, you know, Wink Martindale, they're going to have to blitz and have to get pressure on the quarterback, because if they don't get there, it's not going to hold up on the back end.
I think it's fair to say sound the alarm for the Giants this season from Pat Leonard. It is, you know, it's interesting. I live there, Pat, and I read you all the time, but I lived there for close to 8 years, and the Jets are very much the second team in New York. Like, people don't realize nationwide, the Giants are such a big team in New York City. You know, this is year after year, as Michael has outlined perfectly on the show, this has been futile. I mean, the expectations have to start to mount here for the Giants.
No doubt. And if you're a Giants fan, you know, positives you can try to grasp right now. If you acknowledge that this year is going to be tough, you know, two players that so far look really good in camp, Kayvon Thibodeau, the number five pick, and Wandale Robinson, the second round receiver out of Kentucky. You know, the Giants are in the mode of placing building blocks really on the ground floor and going up from there. And so you're probably not going to see the returns as a team in the win column this year. But those are two teams that I would encourage Giants fans and just people in general too, and frankly, fantasy owners from a Wandale Robinson standpoint, to keep your eye on when you're watching them play this game against the Patriots. Because those are guys who have stood out so far in the field. And really, this is, if John Mara and Steve Tisch give this coaching staff the time to build that they didn't give the last one and the last three, then those are guys who will be core pieces of what hopefully, like as you said, is a turnaround to something positive.
And it's all going to come down to Daniel Jones. And the fact, I think, with the way you opened up the show is, for Giant fans, you got to feel excited about the fact that they're going to let Joe and Brian kind of run this team and make that decision on the quarterback, as opposed to all already extending his contract and believing in something they haven't seen.
Yes, Michael. And that's why, listen, Daniel Jones and the Giants, obviously there's always a chance they could surprise. If their weapons stay healthy, guys like Galladay, Tony, Barkley, Robinson, et cetera, Shepard comes back, maybe it works out. But frankly, it's hard to imagine a scenario where Joe Shane and his personnel staff are not out on the road as we speak in the next few weeks scouting their next quarterback. You know, it would be an upset if the Giants weren't going to draft a quarterback in the first round next year and Daniel Jones was still here. There's still a chance. But it would be an upset if that happened, if that didn't happen.
I agree. That is tremendous forthright analysis from somebody that's covering the team daily for the Daily News. That's Pat Leonard, P. Leonard, NYDN on Twitter. That was very professional, Pat. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate
Thanks so much, Pat. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, as always, guys.
That was tremendous. I don't know if I heard somebody on the beat be as honest as he was about his team. And that is invaluable.
No doubt. And I think, you know, when we come back, we can break down what he was said and put it into betting terms, because he did a great job.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Michael generally has a good take on what these reporters say. So let's come back. 7 right now on the Giants at DraftKings. 7. BetMGM has it 6.5. I don't think Pat Leonard agrees with the market. We're back here, Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's the most comprehensive guide out there when it comes to college football betting. It's the College Football Betting Guide. And remember, the NFL guide is coming out in just a couple of weeks. You get everything. Season win totals, division finishes, player awards. So start your football season on the right foot. But remember, to get both the College Football Guide and the NFL guide, the only way to get access to this year's guides, become a VSiN All Access subscriber. You want to win some money? You want to get serious about this? Make sure you go become a VSiN All Access subscriber. And when you do, $175 takes you through February. Okay? You get the Pro Football Betting Guide. You get the College Football Betting Guide. You get everything we offer, including Point Spread Weekly and exclusive articles from Michael Lombardi. Or you can join us for $40 a month. Go over there, VSiN.com/subscribe, and you pick. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. The information's invaluable. Lombardi Line, as we welcome you back. Michael broke the news during the break, so let's get to it, Michael. He's 36, former first rounder, great with the Texans. I think the last 4 or 5 years with the Seattle Seahawks, Dwayne Brown is going to sign with the Jets, replacing Becton. Your thoughts on the move by your buddy Joe Douglas?
Well, it's a double move, right? So they had George Fant, another former Seattle tackle, playing for him. And he was playing left tackle because they wanted to move Becton over to right tackle to have a stronger run game on the right side. Well, Dwayne Brown's been a left tackle his whole life. He's not going over to the right side. So they'll move Fant back over to the right side, give him Dwayne Brown. I don't know how physical they'll be as a running team. You know, I think that's going to be important. But at least it gives them a veteran presence on that offensive line. and it protects them a little bit. I'm not a huge George Fant guy. I think he's athletic, but I don't think he plays with a lot of power. And the way Brown has played over the last few seasons hasn't been with a lot of power either. So, you know, look, it's a when you lose your left tackle or you lose a tackle during training camp and you don't have a backup on the roster, a lot of teams don't have a really good left tackle as backup because they start. It's hard to overcome. This kind of is a stopgap. They signed him to a 2-year contract. I don't know if he'll play 2 years, but at least it gives him an opportunity to get through the season.
I mean, it's a brutal loss for the Jets and Becton. Somebody that big with a knee injury like that, Michael, reoccurring, is dangerous. So Dwayne Brown there, 36-year-old, signs with the Jets. Let's do this.
Anytime you sign a veteran offensive lineman at 36, you're holding your breath that he stays healthy. You know,
that's right.
You're holding your breath that he stays healthy because, you know, what happens to these guys that, you know, that they play when they're there, I mean, you know, he started 17 games last year. Now, he's been able to stay healthy most of his career. I mean, you'd have to go back to, you know, I think back to, I want to say like 2017 when he got traded is when he missed some games. But for the most part, he's been pretty healthy, you know, and he went to the Pro Bowl last year. I'm not sure what that means, you know. But look, when it comes time for his Hall of Fame nomination, I mean, here's a guy who's played 15 years in the National Football League. He's been to the Pro Bowl 7 times. He's been all pro once.
Yeah. One word. You know, when you're signing a 36-year-old left tackle, you're grasping is what you're doing.
Well,
you're
reacting to something that you didn't anticipate happen. You know,
that's right.
Becton to be out this early. And, you know, look, it's just that's part of the game. That's part of the industry we're in. You got to be able to be adaptive. This is a game of change. And you always ask yourself the question, if we lose this guy, what are we doing? You're constantly playing that game. If we lose our left tackle, who's going to play over there? And when you don't have the answer internally, you've got to go find it.
You know what Bruce Lee would say? Be like water. You got to be like water. You got to be able to adapt. All right.
Let's go.
So BetMGM, 6.5. DraftKings, 7. New York Football Giants. You just heard Pat Leonard. You know him. You read him all the time. He said he's got him at 3 wins. That is a big time under, and you can get plus 105 at 6.5 on BetMGM. Thoughts on what Pat Leonard had to say about the Giants?
Well, first of all, let's say this, right? Most beat writers are a little negative about their team. And I don't mean that as a knock on beat writers. Just they see it all the time. They don't have, you know, they see the faults. They don't know other teams have faults too, right? So you can tend to be a little harder on the team that you cover than the other teams that you don't see. But I think the point he made, Patrick, was that I think the reason we're seeing so much love for the Giants on this over total is more about their schedule than anything. Carolina, not a good team. You know, Chicago, not a good team. Jacksonville, not a good team. Houston, not a good team. Detroit, not a good team, right? Washington, not a good team. You know, Minnesota, not. But we say that about their schedule. But what we miss about that is we miss the set. The Giants aren't a good team. And so those teams, right?
Yes.
Those teams like Carolina are saying, well, we play the Giants. They're not very good. Chicago is saying, well, we beat the Giants. They're not very good, right? It goes both ways. And the New York media perception has hyped it forward. And it's hyped it forward where now all of a sudden you're saying, oh, God, they could beat Houston. They could beat Detroit. They can have off the bye week. They're going to have a 2-game win streak. Slow down. We're not shooting a Western here. Calm down. They're not very good. And they have quarterback problems. Houston doesn't. Houston likes Davis Mills. Davis Mills played better in his starts than Daniel Jones has ever played. Let's put that out there. So they're going to go into the game. I mean, tell me what game they're going to be. Will they be favored against the Panthers in MetLife? Probably. What other game will they be favored in? Chicago when
Titans,
they play
Panthers,
three home.
Cowboys. Yeah, I mean.
They play Panthers, maybe. Cowboys, Bears at home. Bang, bang, bang. They got four before they go on a break. They have the first four games. Four of the first six games are at home. I don't know what that means. I say that like it really is significant. It means nothing. I mean, the Giants are easy to beat home or away.
I know. Well, you've laid out the record better than anybody. But hold on. One thing he did say, nobody's been ahead of the Daniel Jones curve more than you. It sounds like he's right there with you. He expects the Giants to move on from Jones after this year, that being Pat Leonard.
I mean, he watches practice. He watches the games. I mean, okay, watch tomorrow on Twitter. Daniel Jones will have a good first drive against the Patriots, and my Twitter feed will get killed with, "You idiot, you see, he's really good." Okay, great. I'm an idiot. I got it. Right. You just played against, they're playing against New England's backups today. So go ahead, enjoy yourself. Like, and if he doesn't play well, I won't tweet anything out, but you ought to be really concerned if he doesn't play well in this game. Like, you better be really worried if he doesn't come out and go 10 for 12 and lead him on an opening drive. You better be really worried because the Patriots are going to play cover two. They're going to play a little weak safety zone. That's it. They're not giving you that shot. They're not doing anything. They're not shading. They're not blitzing. They're going to play it pretty vanilla.
What is the Giants' identity? Like, you expected it to be Saquon. They used the draft pick. They go two overall. I mean, I guess the positive coming out of the conversation with Leonard was that Thibodeau looks good early on, the rookie out of Oregon. But, like, as far as an identity, you don't really have one with the Giants. Maybe Daboll starts to imprint one.
Well, I think the reason you don't have an identity is not very good in the offensive line. I think if just listen to what Pat said is, I think Pat feels like they've got some really good weapons. That the Robinson kid could be a really good player for them, to go along with Tony, who's a very talented player, to go right along with Golladay, who, you know, if he stays on the field, could have a chance.
Yes.
So they've got three players that are pretty good. And then we know Barkley's got a chance to be a receiver and a runner. Now, he can't pass protect. Remember, we've lost sight of Barkley in pass protection because he's missed a year and he's missed so much. But he has been, when they drafted him, my commentary on him, he's one of the worst pass. You can't put him on the field because he can't pass block. If you want to throw the ball in 11 or 12 or 21, he's not going to protect you. So that's a problem.
If you can't leave a running back in 2022 in pass pro, I mean, he's irrelevant. Like,
remember
and
this,
he is terrible.
Evaluating running backs. Forget the old school. Forget this old school. Evaluating running backs. It's pass protection. It's catch, pass protection, then run. That's how the order is. If you can't catch and you can't pass protect, running's the last thing. You're not playing. There's so many backs that just can run that have lost, that they've left the league. Because if you don't, the quarterback's not going to let you out there.
Even Jonathan Taylor, who's the best outside of Henry, maybe the best runner right now, but he caught a bunch of balls last year. Like, that was important. He's a good pass pro kid and he caught balls. You have to be able to do that.
That's why Najee Harris has got, like, if you're a fantasy, Najee Harris is going to put some numbers up for you. I mean, think about this giant quarterback situation. Daniel Jones, Tyrod Taylor, and Davis Webb. They brought Davis Webb back. Remember, Davis Webb was the guy that many in the organization felt like was better than Mahomes. Noodle on that.
I think they've been proven wrong. Fair?
Yes, they have. Well, I think there's concrete evidence to say that's not right. Yes.
I'm checking out Saquon's numbers over at DraftKings on his rush total. I'll get that for you. But like you said, I mean, you become irrelevant. If you're a runner now, you can't leave him in there. It's also, you're tipping the defense exactly what he's in there for the most part.
Right. I mean, and then you got to see where they are offensive line. I mean, we haven't talked about it. I mean, they signed Feliciano, who was Buffalo's worst offensive lineman. They signed Glowinski from Indianapolis, who's a good player, tough guy, not very athletic. They'll get a little better up front. They got to. They're going to be better coached up front in the offensive line. There's no doubt.
So the biggest question for our next guest is, has Jimmy G been moved yet? I don't think so. Jimmy Garoppolo's agent, Amal Shaw, will join us next here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, of course, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. So every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points that you can redeem for online bonus credits, like free bets and risk-free tokens. Also, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can convert your BetMGM points into MGM reward points, so dining, shows, hotel rooms, it's all there. It's the best loyalty program in the game. Get over to BetMGM.com, sign up for the rewards right now, BetMGM.com. Of course, got to be 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. We're back here, Lombardi Line, getting our week started. Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher here. You know, kind of a depressing conversation about the Giants. So when you're looking for a pick-me-up, you go to Amal Shaw. He is, of course,
one half of
Odds On. And we head out to Circa and say hi to one Amal Shaw. What's cracking, Amal? How you feeling?
I'm doing well, thanks. By the way, who was the guy you had on from Gillette Stadium?
That was Pat Leonard.
Pat Leonard, was he looking for a sponsorship deal from Gillette?
What do you mean?
I think he's covering the...
Based on the lack of shave, I thought with the name behind him and, you know, the lack of shave, I thought he was going for the full sponsorship deal with Gillette.
Yes, he did have a 5 o'clock shadow, Amal. Very, very keen on your part. He was way down on the Giants. He had them set at 3. You got 6.5. You got 7 at DraftKings on the season win total. Are you in alignment with what Pat was saying?
Well, I don't know about 3, but they're not going to be a good football team. Saquon will just show out in the first week, and everyone's like, oh, he's great, and then he'll get injured somewhere along the line. Daniel Jones isn't the quarterback, and I thought it was a stretch when they drafted him out of Duke. I don't know how Michael had him rated coming out of college, but he's just not the guy, and I think it's time to move on from him. I don't even understand why this experiment has taken so long to see that he's a complete failure at quarterback. You can't win this league today without a quarterback. I mean, if you go back, you know, a couple of decades, you could do it with defense. Trent Dilfer was a perfect example in Baltimore. But at this point in time, in a division that's fairly competitive and still, but one where if you had a decent quarterback, you could probably win or be a team that could win that division. The Giants have really gone in reverse, and it's been a real disgrace what they've been the last probably 4 or 5 years.
5 years, 22 wins. But I think if you really want to understand what's wrong with the Giants is they just can't evaluate their own players. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. They overvalue their own players. They're unwilling to give up on their strategy. They constantly think they're right, and they go against it. And then when they spend money, their evaluations on who they spend money on aren't very good. It really comes back to they really have lost sight of how to build a football team. And the last 5 years has proven that.
Mike, I want to ask you a question, having been in personnel. Do you sometimes, because this has happened in Dallas quite a bit with Jerry Jones, and I don't criticize him for it. I think it's just human nature. Sometimes there are players that end up staying on the Cowboys roster probably longer than they should have simply because he has a personal affinity for them. You're in the building every single day. You get comfortable. You get close to people. Sometimes your view gets a little bit skewed or jaded, and you may make the wrong decision just because of the inability to separate yourself from what the player really is.
Well, we all have bias, right? And we all have to work around our bias. And the bias shows up in the NFL more than any place because I drafted him. He's my guy. I want it to work out. Ego gets involved. And so if you don't have any objectivity and you're not willing to divorce yourself from that or try to constantly ask the question, you know, what's wrong with Daniel Jones that I'm not seeing? You know, let me ask other people outside the building. You know, let me get some opinions because we're too close to it. And I think that happens to Jerry. Jerry's a little bit better at it than I think most owners are because I think that Will McClay and some of the other people in the world, like the Amari Cooper one. I mean, there's a perfect example. I mean, you know, he gives up way too much for Amari, spends way too much money for him, but finally admits that he made a mistake, that the guy disappears, doesn't like cold weather, isn't the highest level of competitor, and they moved on. Now, they moved on for relatively nothing, but at least they had the initiative to move on. A lot of teams will just keep doing that, and the hardest thing in pro sports is to evaluate your own team correctly. And a lot of teams can't do that.
And remember, the Giants are sitting on the board 2.5. Some shops, including where Amal is sitting there at Circa, have the Giants laying 3 tonight with New England pretty much sitting everybody, including Mac Jones. You know who would look good in Giant Blue as opposed to Daniel Jones? Jimmy Garoppolo, Amal Shaw.
Well, you know, it'd be great. Then they'll wind up with a pick around 18. I mean, probably around 12 in the draft instead of having a top 5 pick like they will next year with Daniel Jones under center. Listen, I don't know if it's an obligation of everyone to ask me about Jimmy Garoppolo and see if they can force feed him down my throat some more. Can't win with the guy. Listen, Emmanuel Sanders, if he makes the throw, they got a Super Bowl ring. We don't talk about Mahomes in the same light. But I think he's a good quarterback. I just don't think he's a guy that's going to get you over the top unless you've got a complete team around him. And to Michael's point, the Giants are far, far from being there. You know, you look at their season win total, it's reflected in that. I think if you put Garoppolo in there, they could get to that 7-win plateau. But are they a playoff team? No.
Yeah, and look, I think that goes to the longer conversation. You have a plan, you know, and what is the plan? And then if you realize, and then I think this is the job of Daboll, like, where's our quarterback coming from? You know, is it coming from the draft? Is it coming from free agency? Where are we getting the next guy from? And obviously, what's been proven, I mean, look, you know, Darnold and Mayfield went ahead of Josh Allen, and Buffalo was able to get him. They had to trade up to get him. So you don't necessarily have to have the top first or second pick. Those are mistakes, but you got to figure out the right quarterback for your system. That's the job, to me, of Daboll. That's what he's got to do. And until he can figure that out, you know, I don't know where they're going to go. Look, the where you pick in the draft, I don't think it really matters. I mean, Miami tanked for Tua is all you needed to know. That's what they wanted to do. They tanked for Tua. And they got him. Meanwhile, the Chargers just sat back and said, "We'll take Herbert."
Yeah, I just saw the Tua clip that everybody's kind of swinging around Twitter, which is him throwing the football, if that's what you want to call it. And like I said, that's not safe for work, so don't open it up if you've got people around you. Amal, you want to finish up your thought? Go ahead.
No, I think, you know, we've seen so many of these quarterbacks that people miss on, and I think people also reach on quarterbacks now because of that fifth year on a first-round quarterback. Excuse me. And that plays a little bit of a factor in terms of how people evaluate a quarterback, because you want to keep them on that team-friendly contract for one additional year, if possible, if they're as good as you think they might be. So I think we've seen certain quarterbacks maybe drafted a little bit higher maybe than they should have been. Tua was incredibly accurate, but again, the hard part in evaluating some of these quarterbacks from Alabama, Ohio State, and some of these other programs is they have a month and a half to throw. It's like they're ordering off of a menu at a restaurant. Take all the time you need. And that's exactly what they're doing back there. But in the NFL, you don't have that time.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, as teams defend, how teams defend Miami and how they attack Tua, as now that people know you've got to pressure him inside, you've got to force him to move right or left. And even if he goes to his right, he doesn't have great velocity. And with Hill's presence on the field, I was talking to somebody today who's down at the Tampa practice. I mean, like, somebody sent me a text today, said, like, why did Kansas City trade? Like, he's one of the fastest people I've ever seen in my life. Like, that's going to be an interesting dynamic, not only for Miami, it's going to be an interesting dynamic for Kansas City. How do they overcome that vertical presence to really help their offense?
There is nobody better. There is nobody better at the network, in my opinion. Amal, you don't have to say anything. I'll embarrass you when it comes to college football. But also, you like to get down with the contests. How many contests are you getting involved in this season?
Well, so I'm going to do the Survivor. I ended up doing probably six of them. That's the max you're allowed. I've got a bunch of different friends that have been asking me for a number of years, and I said I would do it with them. So kind of partnering up with a lot of different friends and been doing that. It should be a lot of fun. You know, I'm not a big fan of the pick five and the Circa Millions. I think, listen, that's great handicapping. I just wouldn't be successful at that, so I don't have an interest in doing that. But it should be a lot of fun. But I think this year is going to be really challenging. I don't think there's any team that's a complete dumpster fire like we've seen in years past. I think the Bears are going to struggle. I think the Texans struggle. There's some other teams like the Giants. But I don't think these are teams that are going to be looking at a 1-16 season, 2-15 season. I think you're probably looking at the worst team winning three games along the way.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, having Thanksgiving as a separate game and Christmas Day as a separate week makes it even harder, you know. And you think you're saving teams for that when in reality it's a challenge. And I think Survivor is – look, the picking five winners every week is damn near impossible. And what, the winner last year was at 71%, 72%, which is tremendous. But this Survivor thing is harder because there's so many variables that go into it.
Amal Shaw on Twitter. He is also coming up in just about, 6 minutes with Mike Palm and Odds On. Amal, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Amal. Appreciate
Thanks,
you. Thank you today.
Okay. Good information from Amal. He's right there with you on the Giants. Quickly, we got about 35 seconds. The Giants are laying 2.5, 3 tonight at New England. Do you feel comfortable laying it?
I would lay that. I think the Giants are going to play to win. I think they're going to try to do is everything they can to get their young players going. I think Daboll has that McDermott Harbaugh mentality, and I would probably, you know, I'd stay with Harbaugh on this one today too, because I think he's going to continue the streak at 21.
I was going to say, will it be 21 straight for Baltimore and John Harbaugh? If so, straight up, you can win it. You got to lay three, a couple of shops. DraftKings is at 3.5 with Baltimore. You got to pay the John Harbaugh tax in the preseason. Michael, have a great Thursday. I'll see you tomorrow morning, okay?
Thank you, Patrick. You bet.
Okay, Odds On is coming up next with Amal and Mike Palm right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.